And welcome to another action-packed, body-slamming episode of 80s Wrestling, the podcast. This is Tommy Fierro, and today we are going to talk all about last weekend's WrestleMania 40, some record-breaking numbers, all record-breaking numbers, a lot to dive into on today's episode. Usually we kick it back to the 80s, but with all the news going around from this past weekend, we want to talk all about this past weekend's WrestleMania, along with bringing in someone that I've been friends with for many, many, many years. And he's going to join us momentarily, Big Vito, formerly from the WWE, WCW, ECW. We're going to talk to him, catch up, and get his thoughts and opinions of this past weekend's WrestleMania. Jumpin' Jay, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, good morning, brother. It is so good to hear your voice once again, Tommy. With technical difficulties last week canceling the show, I've been itching to talk pro wrestling with you, so I'm excited this morning, and you got a big guest for us today. I don't know how you do it, man, but you've got some kind of cool connections into the inside world of professional wrestling, and so I could not be more excited for today's topic and today's guest.
Awesome, man. Big Vito, I have known for a very long time, and actually, Jay, when I was just a teenager going to independent wrestling shows in the New York, New Jersey area before I ever even promoted a show, I was writing a newsletter back in the day. I was like 15 years old. It was called the Ringside Wrestling Newsletter. And what I would do is I would go around to all these various different independent shows that were in my area and interview some of the guys that are on the show now. This is how I acquired phone numbers and wound up running my first wrestling convention and ultimately getting involved in the wrestling business. But one guy that I remember was one of the first interviews I ever did. And I remember being nervous backstage and I was interviewing Big Vito. Back then he was Skull Von Kruss. And the one thing I want to say before he's on, I know he's joining us right now, is just how great he was to me as a teenager. I believe I've told him this in the past, but if I didn't, I would want to now. How kind he was to me. He didn't treat me like just some kind of fan. He took the time and he appreciated it. And even though I was 15 and he probably knew I had 10 subscribers for my newsletter, he still appreciated the fact that I wanted to interview him. And it's cool. It's full circle now. We have him back on the podcast today. And we're going to be actually getting Vito up here for ISPW in the upcoming months as well. Vito, what's going on, man? Welcome back to 80s Wrestling, the podcast. How are you, my friend?
I am doing good. Tommy Fierro, the original Channel 4 news team, is back together. Thank you for having me on the show. It's a great, great privilege to be here with you today. Those are some kind words and some great memories back then. You know, what people forget is everybody starts out in the wrestling business. They're always afraid to be mistakenly taken in the wrong way. But if you're a real pro and you have a good heart and you just want to be a great person and do the right thing in wrestling, you always take the time to do interviews with anybody who wants to do it. And luckily I was broken in the business the right way on how to be a pro. And what people forget is I started out in my rookie year at the WWF. So I had great tutors and mentors throughout my whole career. And everybody thinks I was just on the indies, but I was doing WWF TVs, wrestling the Bret Harts, the Undertakers, watching the Macho Man, the Warrior, you know, a whole bunch of greats, a guy like the Honky Tonk Man. And then the guys like Jimmy Powers and SD Jones came along and helped teach me the game, Jimmy Snuka. So, I mean, I really, if you had to say I'm a company guy, I really wrestled in companies from the start. But being with ISPW today means a lot to me, you know, and what people don't know is Tommy and I are personal friends. And we've been boys for a long time, even after his teenage years and puberty. We got through it. You know, we had the talk, and, you know, now he's doing good. Isn't that right, Tommy?
Yeah, man. Love to have you on today, man. And, yeah, Vito, little trivia fact for you, Jumpin' Jay. I was actually in Big Vito's wedding several years back. So, yeah, we are friends outside of the world of professional wrestling, and I love him and his wife. And yeah, man, we're here to talk WrestleMania 40 today. We got some guys on hold. We can't wait to hear your WrestleMania reactions, and we're going to get Vito's reactions as well later in the show. I guess let's kick it off, Jay.
Yeah, that's right. We got calls waiting on hold to talk with Big Vito all about what's being billed is the biggest WrestleMania of all time, WrestleMania 40. Broke a number of records. We saw some iconic title reigns come to an end. And so we're going to unpack it here with our reactions to last weekend's show. And so we're going to kick off with a longtime friend of the show out from the East Coast. It's Matt from Boston. Matt, good morning, sir. You are live with Big Vito talking WrestleMania 40.
Morning, boys. Morning, Vito. Awesome to have you. Thanks for coming on the show. It was awesome when I saw it this morning. So great to talk to you. Great to talk wrestling. Great to talk WrestleMania.
Matt, what do you got for me? I know you have a lot of questions. I know you're a big enthusiast. You're one of the biggest fans there at the radio talk with ISPW. So go ahead and lay it on thick.
Yeah. So I first off, this was kind of the WrestleMania that I was, you know, most jazzed up for in a long, long time, which was really great. The anticipation, the weeks building, the storylines forming over the last, you know, few months. So I was really stoked for both nights. And, you know, I thought it lived up. I absolutely loved, you know, the Sunday night main event. I thought that storytelling was just chef's kiss. You know, I loved everything about it. There's a couple things I noted. I thought both days were really, really great. I was so happy with the whole show. I was pleasantly surprised at how good I thought the triple threat United States Championship match was with Logan Paul. I don't know how I feel about Logan Paul, but man, did he bring it with Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. I loved the Money in the Bank cash in. I think Drew McIntyre, I think he's got. You know, I would have liked to see him hold on to the championship a little bit, but I loved the cash in. I thought Damian Priest. I thought that was a great move. I just thought it was a great show overall. And then the next day, you know, the Raw after was the opening segment going 40 plus minutes, commercial free, with The Rock and Cody I'm sitting there watching Raw, and I'm like, you know, my wife comments, "So is it everything that you wanted it to be?" And I said, "Well, yeah, but let's see where they go with it now." And, you know, I'm excited to see what's next and how the storylines evolve. And I only have positive things, honestly, guys. I thought it was great. So many great matches, so many great storylines. There were some great, you know, kind of storyline conclusions. I'd love to hear how you guys feel. Overall, A. For me, I thought it was great, and you know, I'm interested now more than ever, and you know, I had to catch the Raw after, and I'm in.
All right, you're enthusiastic. You like both shows. Everything was phenomenal. You like the storylines. You know, one thing I have to say, wrestling 101 still works. I know everybody here watching wrestling today, they all have an opinion about the high spot matches, and not too many people go back to holds, and not too many people go back to traditional wrestling matches because everybody looks to pop the crowd and do a high spot. But when you go back to the original formula of wrestling 101, when you tell a story where the babyface chases a heel, that draws money. And this is what drew money, and this is what made the biggest gate, probably the biggest watch pay-per-view. They're nominating this as the biggest WrestleMania ever, and there have been some great WrestleManias. Everything you're saying is correct, you know, from, you know, the triple threat match to the Money in the Bank to Cody, you know, winning his dream and doing great, phenomenal things throughout this whole run, you know. And then there were the other people, like, you know, you mentioned Randy Orton, you mentioned Kevin Owens, you mentioned, let's mention Seth Rollins, right? Now, these guys are seasoned veterans, former champions, and without those guys, this doesn't make this WrestleMania happen in a great way. Now, what I mean is these are experienced guys, people they know. They don't have to be in the title picture. They don't have to hold the title. What you're seeing are workers. You know, and I rate myself, and this is my own view, I never needed titles. I never needed anything. I toured the world. I was always a great heel. I was always a great worker. I can adapt from the top of the card to the bottom of the card. And what you have a good mix in the WWE right now is good assorted veterans, and you have a bunch of hungry young guys who want to learn, and they seem like the ship is righted there. So everything right now is a big boom. You know, so you're right on track with all that.
I
agree with everything. I agree with everything Vito just said and everything you just said. They're doing everything right. Everything this weekend is absolutely phenomenal. Now, I've grown up, you know, I'm an 80s. You guys know I'm an 80s guy, so WrestleMania 3 has always been the nearest and dearest to my heart. I do have to say, after all the records that came out this weekend, it was the biggest WrestleMania of all time, which makes it the best WrestleMania of all time. So it's funny that, and I do want to talk about this later and get Vito's reaction to this, is last night how AEW aired that backstage shuffle with, I'm not going to call it a fight because it wasn't a fight, with CM Punk and Jungle Boy, and how embarrassing it was. Even later in the show, they had the other guy, Will, talk shit about Triple H and how he only has his position because of who he married, coming off the greatest WrestleMania of all time, the biggest numbers of all time that Triple H is in charge of. So I think AEW is the next WCW 2.0. I think that Tony Khan, unfortunately, is going to be the next Herb Abrams. I want to talk about that more later, but I want to say I agree with everything both of you guys said. This past weekend was absolutely phenomenal. How about you, Jay?
Oh, I enjoyed the show very, very much, and I'm digging everything Matt's saying. I'm digging everything Vito's saying. I would love to know, Big Vito, you've wrestled all over the world. You've wrestled for what fans believe are the biggest companies to ever exist in the industry. You've wrestled on some big shows. From a performer's standpoint, when you're heading into a show where you know there's going to be a lot of attention, a lot of eyes, do you feel that pressure, and do you approach those matches differently? Do you think the people that performed last weekend at Mania prepared differently, looked at it differently, or is it just bigger show, you just go out and you do what you do, or is there a different feel to those big-time shows?
Well, let's put it in perspective, guys. If you're a pro's pro, okay, I'm going to use me an example. Now, everybody who knows me in the wrestling business, I am a perfectionist. You know, I'm meticulous. If I had to tell you the work that I put in to be a pro and all the practice and all the repetition and everything that went through it. Now, when you go in front of 500, I always think it's 50,000. If it's 20,000, I think it's 100,000. You always think bigger than what it is. You always have to address everybody in the crowd. You know, the aura of the WrestleMania, yeah, it gets you up if you're in the show. But remember, as a wrestler, as a worker, you are on spot with everybody's eyes on you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The people are waiting for you to make a mistake. Now, when I say this, I look at the great ECW run where they had the great chance, you know, and I'm not going to use profanity on the show, but you get it, you know, you effed up, you know, and other stuff like that. And when people get a chance to get you because you made a mistake, they are paying attention to every little detail. You know, there are gaps in there. Sometimes you're good enough where your partner in there, your dance partner, can cover it up for you and the match will flow good. Just like there might have been a couple of gaps in the main event or on day one, there might have been something on day two. But you're working with professionals, you know, and just your adrenaline when you're in front of 100,000, 30,000, 50,000 and you're main eventing. I've been in positions where I main evented in, you know, 25,000, 40,000 seat arenas. And, you know, all eyes on you. But if you are a professional, you know, you go out there and you give it your all. You know, it doesn't matter if there's one person in the crowd or 100 people in the crowd. You got to entertain everybody and you got to make sure that your work is solid and snug.
Very well said. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Very well said. And that is some great insight, honestly. Like, I'm sitting here going, wow, that all makes sense. But you put it all together. That's insight you're only going to get here on this podcast. Two quick things. I'll let you get to some other callers. Tommy, your point about the AEW nonsense, to steal a line from good old JR, that was all sizzle and no steak and embarrassing. And that's all I want to say about that. But Vito, you touched on something. Seth Rollins. And I think you made a good point, because the only thing that I came out of you know, the two-night WrestleMania thinking was, man, Seth Rollins was just – he was taking L's all over the show both nights. And he is just such an incredible worker and was such a great champ. And, he's sort of an afterthought in the main event, and then they, kind of shoehorned him into the tag match. But what a talent. And what a professional, and what an amazing job he did. And I don't know that it gets the credit it deserves, but I thought he was just exceptional, passed the title to Drew, and I just thought he did great. And he didn't come out with a big win or a title or anything, but man, what a show he put on as well.
You know, guys, like when you're back there, like for me, I took wrestling so seriously, and Tommy could attest to this, because like I was always on 100, when I was wrestling full time, and like being on 100 every day, you can go 50 minutes, 60 minutes. Guys would be like, oh no, I got Vito tonight. Well, I hope you're in shape. And I didn't care if you were the top star, the middle star, the bottom star. I didn't care if you were God. I was going to put out there and wrestle against you and go 100. And guys appreciated it from the back, and they said that Vito is a hard worker. And a lot of people today, after they watched my work through the years, they give me the label, Vito, you are underused and you're very, very underrated. But when you wrestle against the best guys in the world and you go in there and you have no fear, okay, I'll give you an example. Old Japan Battle Royal, there's a guy with green trunks. He's laughing at me. The object of the Old Japan Battle Royal is to get pinned. He wasn't going over the top. And I just see this guy's laughing at me, and I'm getting mad. And I'm saying, who are you laughing at? I'm Skull Von Crush, man. I'm gonna crush you. I go in there. They push him forward. I snapped on him, and I legit pinned him. And everybody jumped on top, and I didn't know who he was until afterwards. And that was the great Mizawa. And he was a great, great wrestler, probably one of the greatest of our generation, triple crown winner. And I made a point that you weren't going to disrespect me, and I didn't care who you were. I came in there to wrestle, show you if I was the best. And I am one of the few people who have a pinfall against him. When I came back to the States, one of our good friends, Mike Bucci, said, Vito, did you really pin this? I said, yep. I said, he was laughing at me, and I don't take no crap from nobody. So there's your answer.
There you go. All right. I'm gonna drop off, let some other callers get some airtime. Vito, still love the FBI. Be good, boys.
Thank you.
Matt, thank you so much for kicking us off. We've got lots of callers lined up, recapping and reacting to WrestleMania 40 with none other than Big Vito. Up next from Butler, New Jersey, it's our good friend Danny. Danny, good morning, sir. Welcome to the show. You are live with Big Vito.
Tommy Jumpin' Jay, Vito. Tommy Jumpin' Jay, it's been a pretty, I know it's been a while since I've been on. Life happens, work. Unexpected events and stuff like that, and don't think that I forgot about you guys. It's great to be back on. Definitely from what I used to call in every week. Tremendous event I think on Saturday and Sunday WrestleMania. I think personally the night one I think stood out more than night two. Nevertheless, overall great show. I think I'll have to give that that show a solid A. I love the cash-in, obviously. I think that was a perfect timing. I think, it kind of rivals Seth Rollins, not to that stage, but it was just as good. As far as, someone mentioned the iconic title rings, I thought it was a perfect time for Roman to finally drop it and for Seth to, quote-unquote, finish the story. I thought it was some great storytelling in that match. I like the I think they kind of should, you know, they kind of, you know, I don't know how to say it, the celebration at the end. Yeah, I thought they could have done it a little bit better, even though I kind of like the way it rivaled WrestleMania 10 with everybody lifting up Bret Hart. There was a similarity there.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I got to give credit to Gunther, you know, even though he dropped that title to Sammy, which I thought was the right decision too. The work that he did holding on to that title for that amount of time, he actually brought back much needed relevance and prestige to the Intercontinental title, which has pretty much been a prop for many years. And, you know, he finally made that title what it was in the 80s and the 90s. And it's, you know, something that now I think it's just as important as the world title. You know, he came out looking like Macho Man after WrestleMania 3, whether you win or lose. It doesn't matter. You know, you went out there and, you know, he put on the show. I just think it was a, you know, great, great card. As far as Vito, I know, you know, you've been around the world. You're well-seasoned. You've seen it all. You've done it all. And seeing, I'm going to assume that you're good friends with Paul Heyman. What do you think of him getting into the Hall of Fame? What did you think?
He definitely earned it. I mean, he's been in the business. He's a lifer. And he's had a lot of great accomplishments. He's done some wonderful things. He's been a great manager on TV. He helped make ECW a household name. There's really nothing you could say bad about Paul Heyman. He, you know, he earned his credentials. He earned his craft. He did it his way in the wrestling business. He started from the bottom up. I think he was he used to sell pamphlets and magazines and take pictures how he started. And it's funny that Paul Heyman, I met Paul Heyman in 1991, the same year I broke in WWF. I met him at WCW because that was my very first TV experience. And when I wrestled Beautiful Bobby Eaton, and who's on the microphone doing commentary is Paul Heyman. So, I mean, he's come a long way. A lot of congratulations to him. He definitely earned it. And, you know, there's somebody who's definitely deserving.
Yeah, you know what, I can't, you hit the nail on the head, you know, coming somebody that actually was his peers that probably worked with him and traveled with him and, you know, got to, you know, as someone as seasoned as you, that definitely means a lot hearing those stories. As far as everybody that you've worked with, who stands out the most to you? Who do you think you've learned the most, and who do you think has been the biggest influence, whether the you getting into the business as a young pup to what you are right now? Who do you see as a mentor and a good friend?
Oh, boy. You know, I come from a different era than what wrestling is today. And, you know, when you walk into WWF locker room, and 1991, and the first thing they ask is, who broke you in? And I told them Johnny Rods. And they said, okay, kid, you want a Johnny's boys? Come sit in the locker room. Back then, everybody dressed in the hallway. I never dressed in a hallway or a bathroom. They never treated me, you know, crappy. When they got me on TV and they saw I knew how to bump and I could listen, you know, people took interest in me. Bret Hart, I wrestled 4 times for the Intercontinental Championship. A story about Bret Hart was the first time I wrestled him, he stiffed me so bad, and I was bumping for him. And actually, I remember like it was yesterday, and here I am fresh out of the school, and I'm saying, Johnny said, somebody starts stiffing you, man, sweep the leg, take him. And what people didn't realize is I could wrestle and not just be a bump taker. So I refrained from sweeping his leg and doing that, and I just took it. He came up to me on the next TV and he apologized to me. He says, I was rough on you. He said, I asked to work with you today. He says, we're going to work together. You're going to do some things. And that's how that's one of the greatest experiences of my career to start off. But then, like I said, you know, you had guys like Honky Tonk Man and SD Jones and Jimmy Powers and the Warlord, Jimmy Snuka, the Cheetah Kids. You're talking about the guys who from the 80s to the 90s were getting out of TV, and here I am. Sergeant Slaughter is another one I wrestled many times. You're talking about those guys who were on TV who are, you know, legends today. and they took the time to teach me. And I know I'm missing some people. I apologize if I'm missing anybody. There's a guy out there who I wrestled, Tugboat Thomas, and I wrestled on Manhattan Center with him, and I had offense like you never seen. And he was a big man, and I was a big guy, but I wasn't the size of Tugboat, and he sold for me the whole match. Yeah. And that's a pro. You know what I mean? I wasn't under contract or nothing, but we made it a match. Tatanka is another one who I wrestled numerous amount of times. And then later on in my career, I wrestled him as we were on the same level, and I came full circle. So it's like, and my apologies to anybody who I'm missing. My apologies to anybody who I'm not mentioning. But there were a lot of great people who helped make me a complete wrestler in the business, and I always say thank you. And probably the biggest night of my life was when I beat Terry Funk for the hardcore title on Nitro. And the biggest night of my life was there because he handed me the belt and shook my hand. And you don't see that too often in today's business.
That's incredible. I love the story. That's the names that you listed. That's a who's who of the business. And it's always great. Like, I don't know who mentioned it before earlier. I don't know if it was Matt or anyone, you guys, but you got guys that are seasoned, you know, like you mentioned Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, you know, the guys have been in the business for years, and, you know, they go out of their way and making the younger talent look good. You know, so far you go by that passing the torch. You know, you're elevating yourself. You know, you could go up to their level, down to their level. And that's a pro's pro. You got superstars that could, you know, they can adapt to any style, so that, you know, they could adapt to, you know, you always mention, you know, I always think Ricky Steamboat, who could wrestle anybody, could make a broomstick look good. That's I think that's what the business is about. And I think right now the business is in good hands after what we saw Saturday and Sunday. So on that note, I'm going to, you know, let the rest of the callers get in. It was a pleasure hearing those stories and talking about WrestleMania. You know, all you guys, Tommy, Jumpin' J. Vito, have a great weekend. And it's great
thank
to
you.
Be back on 80s Wrestling.
Hey, thank you.
You
so much, Dan. It is so good to hear your voice again. Please call in sooner rather than later next time. We're going to keep the calls rolling because we are stacked and packed here, waiting to get a hold of Big Vito and talk WrestleMania 40. Up next, it's time to visit the Firehouse as we connect with firefighter Brian. Brian, good morning, sir. We're talking WrestleMania XL with Big Vito.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing fine. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Vito. Good morning, guys. Good morning, everybody. You know, Vito, I go back with you a long time. You know, I remember me and my crew watching your Skull Von Crush at the Elks Lodge in Astoria, Queens with ECW and later the Baldies. And, oh, God, some of the best days of my life were going to the Elks Lodge and, you know, house shows and whatnot in Freeport and the city. And great times. Brings back great memories hearing you today. And
thank you so much.
Hey, thank you guys, man. You guys make it happen. And as far as, you know, WrestleMania 40, you know, Tommy, you said you're going to talk about, you know, what went on last night later in the show, and I'm very anxious to hear Vito's point of view on that. You know, I'll just say quick, I try to watch as much as I can, and I do enjoy AEW. I remember you saying, Tommy, the last pay-per-view they had, Revolution, you were on your phone most of the time. Personally, I think they put on very good pay-per-views. I think they have excellent wrestling matches. But the management, I mean, it's just I don't know how much longer this can last for, because it started with William Regal, then Cody Rhodes, and one by one, they're all either going back or going to the other company. So it seems a mess over there in Jacksonville, Florida. But as far as WrestleMania goes, you know, listen, I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer here. I didn't think it was a bad show. I thought a lot of it was very good. I mean, it was impossible to live up to so much hype. But, I mean, what I took away from it was, you know, they keep saying, new era, new era, new era. And while there were some, you know, incidents on the show that let you to think that there's a new era, you heard the word pro wrestling, you know, quite a bit on the Hall of Fame induction, on WrestleMania, on Monday Night Raw at the end of WrestleMania, Cody's sitting, you know, holding the title, and Michael Cole says, "This is why I love pro wrestling." So you're seeing a lot more of that. On the other hand, a lot of it was, you know, same old crap. You know, the both nights, I thought night two was better than night one. I thought started out strong, but followed it up with just weak content. I mean, Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch, darn good way to start the show. I thought the right woman won. I love her title reign to make her look dominant and unbeatable. And then they followed it up with that tag team ladder match, which was good. The only problem was, I mean, the crowd booed mercilessly when we figured out we're going back to two champions again. And it's way too many titles, way too many alphabets in the soup. Now they're adding another one on NXT. And then night two started off with the heavyweight title match. Drew McIntyre shocks the world, beats Seth clean, and then gets attacked by CM Punk. Damian cashes in Money in the Bank. Great. And then they followed up with that street fight, which was an absolute waste of time. No disrespect to anybody in it. It's the way it was packaged. I was really hoping, since it was in Philadelphia, that they would have, you know, a real, just a good old-fashioned, hardcore, violent street fight. And it was just the same garbage. But I just want to end with, you know, two winners. Two of the biggest, there was a lot of winners and losers from WrestleMania weekend. I think the two of the biggest winners, one is obvious, and one maybe not so much. The first is, of course, The Rock. The Rock has shown that, Rock showed once again, he still has it. And what I mean by it is the ability to connect. He knows how to figure out a crowd. He knows how to work it. He still has ring psychology down pat, okay, still has it. And even though he's leaving for a little while, he'll come back and they'll be booing him. That was his job, not to have them cheer him when he comes back. His job is to try to have them hate him when he comes back. And the jury's out whether he did that, but he damn sure did his best. And the other winner that people don't talk about, The Undertaker. The Undertaker on the Hall of Fame ceremony, inducted Muhammad Ali. I thought that Hulk Hogan would probably be the best to do that because Hogan was in the match that Muhammad Ali reffed. And a lot of people call Hulk Hogan the Muhammad Ali of wrestling. But they had Undertaker do it, who was, this just shows the magnitude that Undertaker is held in. And then at night two, during the whole melee, everybody was expecting glass to break. Instead, the lights went out and you heard the gong. And I think the crowd went even crazier than they would if the glass broke, because nobody expects, this shows just what a huge name in the history of the company, and there's been a lot of them, that Undertaker is. Vito, amazing, the list of men that you have been in the ring with. I mean, Mitsuharu Misawa. I mean, the list goes. Bobby Eaton, one of my all-time favorites. Have you been in the ring with those two? And, you know, what, any stories working with Rock or Undertaker?
The Undertaker wrestled in 1992 in the Nassau Coliseum. And then probably one of the most exciting things during my WWE run was I got to be one of the bearers during one of his entrances because they were short guys. So here I am, I'm standing there, and they said, "Man, we don't have enough guys." I said, "Listen, give me," I said, "give me one of the robes." I thought, he said, "Vito, are you really going to?" I said, "Yeah." I said, this is one of the best entrances to ever, you know, to be involved with. And you get to see it up close. You know, why not? I mean, I've been on the receiving end of a body bag, so might as well enjoy watching somebody else get it. So, I mean, what the hell? Right. So, they gave me a Druid thing, and I was the first one in the line, and I was standing there, and I was proud to be part of it because that's wrestling, you know what I mean? And, you know, people forget that, like, I wrestled Hogan, I wrestled Flair, I wrestled Luger, I wrestled, Kevin Nash on Nitro in the main event. I wrestled, a lot of great guys, and I know I'm forgetting a lot of great guys, and I don't mean to disrespect nobody, but, I mean, I've wrestled just about everybody you can wrestle in wrestling, and I'm still wrestling today, and that says a lot. And when people like yourself come on and they say the memories and, like, the Balls and Axel and New Jack and, you know, the Baldies and ECW and Skull Von Crush, and, like, that's a long listed career, and I'm very happy that you enjoyed it, and thank you very much for the compliments.
Absolutely. My pleasure, my friend. And I'll leave questions for you. I know this is a tough one, but I love asking this to wrestlers. Who's your all-time favorite opponent? You have to pick one.
Put me on the spot. It's tough. I mean, I have great matches with a lot of people. I guess if you had to say what was probably the best match that you could have, this is like me and RVD at the ECW arena when I did the Skull Von Crush bus trip. And if you ever watch that match on TV and you see the crowd going crazy, and they all thought I was going to win the title that day. And that was a match where, you know, nobody ever took out Rob from the get-go when he did his spin and jump. And here I come, you know, crashing along with a thunderous clothesline. And I start going to work. And everybody was shocked, like the place went silent. And then we went and did our ECW match style with good spots. And, it was a great match. And RVD always said, Vito, you're the only one who catches me. So it's good.
That is great. I heard anybody say RVD before, and I'll debate anybody. RVD's best work was an ECW. That arena, I was very blessed to have been to a show there. Great place, great company, great fans, great everything. Listen, I'm sure you guys have some other callers, so I'll let you guys go. Hey, Vito, great talking to you. Great Jay, Tommy,
always
a pleasure, and I will hopefully talk to you guys next week.
Sounds
all right,
good,
great.
Ryan.
Thank you very much,
man. Brother. All right, yeah, we've got calls stacked waiting to talk to Big Vito and give their reaction to WrestleMania 40. Up next is a guy who traveled to Philly to take in some of the spectacle. It's none other than Toto with Tom. Tom, good morning, sir. You are live with Big Vito.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
I don't know. You're the one who called in for the question, so shoot something at us.
That's all right. There's a lot of people who listen to this show, Vito, that are up-and-coming independent wrestlers. What advice do you have for them in their journey?
Everything I tell, the same thing I tell everybody. I tell them, don't get into the wrestling business. And they all look at me like I got three heads. I said, it's a difficult business to crack, and it's a difficult business to be a star in. First thing I tell them is, do you have a plan B? And nobody ever thinks of a plan B. I said, do you have a college education? A lot of people plan B, work on your plan B before you go to plan A, because plan A never works out, and you always have plan B. And that's the truth, because – you know, I started out, and I was supposed to be a basketball player. I was going to the NBA. I played in Madison Square Garden. I had Division I scholarships. You know, I was a baller, and I was the least violent kid you ever met. And then it didn't happen for me because of crappy grades. I had to go to a community college, and then I tried out for the Olympic baseball team. I says, okay, I'm going to do this, and then I was going to play semi-pro football, and that didn't work out. And then one day wrestling came along, you know, and I gave wrestling a try, and it stuck with me because I was an athlete, but I didn't have that plan B for afterwards. And it was after, you know, wrestling that I said, okay, what are you going to do now? And then I had to come up with some ways. Thank God I was I'm a hustler. You know, I'm street worthy. You know, you always make your money. You survive in the world. And, you know, that's what I'm doing today. But, you know, plan B for everybody who wants to be a wrestler. And that goes for kids, too. And kids starting out in a wrestling school very young, you know, it takes away from their education, I think, because they're more concentrated on going to wrestling school than doing their grades. And God forbid somebody gets hurt, you know, God forbid something happens. And a lot of times in wrestling schools, you know, things I noticed, you know, they're up and bumping on the first day when they don't even know how to roll or fall. And the second thing is a lot of kids come into this not in shape, and they're not ready and they're not prepared. And you can't be a pro athlete unless you're prepared. And it takes a lot of training to get your body rugged and ready to be a pro wrestler.
That is awesome. Great. Tommy, you got to replay this for any of your, guys at ISPW. That's the gospel right there, what he's talking about.
Absolutely. So Tom, you were at WrestleMania. I saw all your pictures throughout the weekend. Tell us about your firsthand experience. What happened in person that came off bigger than it did on TV, whether it been a certain reaction to someone or something? What was your firsthand perspective of being there this past weekend?
Something bigger that happened, TV? That's a hard one to answer. I will say this, I disagree with that other caller. I don't know what is Brian or something like that. I thought the MVPs for the weekend were Seth Rollins for his performance. He took a lot of L's, as I think someone else on the show mentioned that too earlier on. And he built his storyline further, because it's not always, and I'm sure Big Vito, you can agree with this, it's not whether you go over, it's whether you get over. And I thought that's, you know, what Seth Rollins did. He certainly got over. And Samantha Irving, I thought, was tremendous. I mean, she is, in my opinion, the GOAT of all time. I mean, I'm a Howard Finkel guy. I love Finkel. I grew up with Finkel. But she has overtaken him as my favorite of all time. And I love the fact that WWE now focuses her. During the introduction, the wrestlers specifically go to the hard cam, and she's right behind the hard cam, and you just see her, and she has such charisma, such style. What a voice.
Absolutely.
And when she announced Cody winning, could hear it in her inflection. She was emotional, and I love that.
Real quick, I want to make mention that you just brought that up, is that I guarantee you that 100 years from now, when they're doing their WWE video packages, 100 years from now, that right there, her announcing Cody as a champion, will be a part of that video package, because that is then, now, forever together. I mean, that's their perfect, their catchphrase, what they're all about. That right there, the emotion came out of her. It made Cody's win a million times more special. I absolutely love that. How about you, Vito?
I think that, you know, you hit the nail on the head. You know, if you don't have any emotion, you don't have any charisma when you're announcing, and it's just dead, the crowd's not going to get behind it, and the people who are watching TV are not going to get behind the product that you're selling. She does a very good job of both, you know, plus she's a very attractive young girl, so that's the eye candy that you want, because you want people to watch, so you have to give them something, and she has the talent to, you know, portray the business in a positive way, and you get emotionally involved when she's speaking. So, I mean, it's a win-win for the WWE.
One other thing, too, is that I heard that she never wants to know the results of the match. So they have a little secret camera that they keep by her where she sits down. That way they can capture her reaction when at the end of the match, and then they post that on TikTok. You know, they show her being excited or surprised or whatnot. Truly amazing, this train that the WWE has, this product, how they have all the bases covered.
No, it's a great thing. And, you know, modern technology today is definitely different than what it was 40 years ago. So, I mean, kudos to the WWE for, you know, sticking with the times and coming up with different ways to capture everybody's emotion.
Vito, I'll take your last question off air. I'll hang up after this. I was at the ECW arena this past weekend. I'd like to know what your favorite moment was ever there. Thank you, guys.
Favorite moment at the ECW arena. Guys, you're not going to believe this, but probably the best day I had, the happiest day I had at the ECW arena is the day I wrestled Sid. And everybody says, would say, why would that be the happiest moment of your day? Three other guys were asked by Paul Heyman to wrestle Sid that day. They all said, no, no way. So Paul Heyman comes up to me and he says, Vito, he says, I know you're off. He says, but I need you. I said, what do you need? He says, well, I said, I need somebody to wrestle Sid. I said, okay. He says, you know what I want, right? I says, yep. So at that time they were posting, you know, they were grooming him for Taz. So I go in the ring and I take probably one of the best, you know, beatdowns you could take. And, you know, I'm doing my thing. He threw me over head first over to a table, which I never did that before. And then come the end of the match, everybody thought I died on that. Come the end of the match, I get stretched out. So when I get stretched out, everybody, Paul ran from the top. I remember Dreamer, Taz, Devon, all the guys came around. Paul says, Vito, are you okay? And I said, yeah, isn't that what you wanted? They said, you're not hurt? I said, no. I said, I thought that's what you wanted. He said, Vito, you just got a full-time job here. You fly with the rest of the team. You fly with the rest of the crew because I earned my job. So, and they all told me after, they said, you know, Vito, if you would have fought back, it would have been a hell of a fight. I said, I know. I said, but I've got to keep everything in control. Anger management.
That is a very,
I'm going to add something on the Sid thing, right? So after I took those power bombs, I wound up working with Sid the rest of the time as an ECW, right? They always say, Vito, 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 right? I finally go to WCW. I say, thank God, I'm away from Sid. I don't have to do this no more. And who follows me to friggin' WCW, right? Soon as he comes in, I say, hey, Vito, didn't you? I says, you're kidding, right? So he comes up to me, and he every time I see him, he has a big smile on his face, and he always appreciated me. Vito, how you doing? I said, I'm doing okay. I said, what are we doing the usual? But like I said, guys, you don't need to be a champion. You don't need to do, you know, have all the glory. But you just got to know how to be a carpenter and, you know your craft and do your job well. You always have a job, and that was one of the things. You know, once you take a great bump, they all want you to take great bumps for you. So there's the ECW happiest day of my life when I earned the job there full time.
That's very cool. And I'm going to ask a follow-up question, and if you don't want to answer, if it's pulling the curtain back too far, just let me know. When you go out and you do a bump like that for Sid and make him look so good, when he comes back through the curtain, is there a conversation he has with you? Does he address it? Does he thank you?
Well, I think everybody was shocked that I wasn't dead, and I think he was more worried that he hurt me.
Sure.
And I, you know, he says, are you okay? I said, yeah. I said, I'm good, man. I said, thank you very much. And, you know, like, I never did a bump like that before. And if you ever look at it, I mean, I never went over a head first backwards over a thing to a table. And there's no practicing that. You just, you know, how do you prepare for that? It's just your instincts, your athletic ability, and hoping that, you know, everything comes out okay. I could have been worse. I could have got hurt, but... like I said in the beginning of the podcast, I was a perfectionist. I knew my bumps. I knew my limitations. And, I mean, thank God everything worked out for the best and I didn't get hurt.
Yes, absolutely. All right, we got a couple callers who've been waiting on hold this whole time as we're rounding third base. We're going to get them in here to connect with Big Vito. Up next, we're flying out to the West Coast, to Chico, California, to check in with our good friend, Babyface Brian. Brian, good morning, sir. We're talking WrestleMania 40 with special guest, Big Vito.
Hey, good morning, Jay. Good morning, Tommy. And Vito, thanks for being on the show. I've really enjoyed listening to you the whole show, and I appreciate the time and the answers that you've given. Coming up through the ranks and training with Johnny Rods, That's a legend that you know, a lot of guys today may not know. He was he started back in 1965, so by the time he started working with you, he'd been in the wrestling business for 25 years. We look at your career now, you've been around since 1990, so you're going on 34 years in the wrestling business. To last that long in any industry is impressive, but to do it in pro wrestling, somebody taught you right as far as either Johnny Rods or your parents, as far as work ethic and not getting steered in the wrong direction and going down the wrong paths. What kind of plans do you have as far as when you hang it up for good? Are you going to do something like Johnny Rods and get into training wrestlers, or what kind of plans do you have after this is done bumping in the ring?
Well, guys, my plan right now is to I'm wrestling Saturday in Minneapolis. I have a bunch of dates, and I'm back wrestling. I'm trying to get one more run. I have some talks with Tommy Fierro about some great things coming up. When it's all said and done, I want to go out in my own way, and I want to finish this the way I started, you know. And, you know, like Rocky says, I still have it burning in my system. I train like a beast still. I'm in great shape. I've been training for 2 months just to get back into wrestling shape because my wife got sick again, so I says I have to stay home and take care of her. So that's why I started wrestling again, and you know, working a full time job just can't be. So I have to wrestle, and when it's all said and done, I just want it to be right, and I want it to be the way it's supposed to be for me. Not that I have left anything on the table or I have anything I have to accomplish or anything like that. I've had a great career. I've done everything you could possibly do. And I'm not like some guys like to say, yeah, I wrestled for this company, I wrestled for that. I actually wrestled for companies and the major companies and had wins and storylines and did things. And I want to continue on that path. And I'd like one more small run. I'm not foolish to say, hey, I'm going to wrestle for another 5 years. I need a 10-year contract. No, you know, a couple of years. And then at the end, if they would like me to help teach the young people or be a manager or work in the back, I mean, that would be a fascinating thing, because a lot of people also don't forget that I worked the territory days in the 90s, the last of the territories. So I saw all the greatest minds work in every different territory. And with me wrestling in all the different companies, I have a ton of experience. Like you said, 34 years experience. So you're like, I'm definitely a value to some company out there, and I'm hoping to hook up and be able to do, like you said, and teach and show people and, you know, finish it out the way it's supposed to be, like everybody wants to do.
Thank you. And one thing about this last WrestleMania that I really enjoyed is, it was just fun. So, I mean, when I got into watching, I was 11 years old. I know you got into wrestling when you were 25, 26, but growing up in New York, you were in WWF territory. Were you a fan as a kid? And do you have any memories of those early WrestleManias, like WrestleMania 1 or going to the events? What sparked your interest in wrestling? Was it something that you didn't discover until you were 25, 26, or were you a fan as a kid also?
I always used to watch WOR TV, Channel 9, at 12 o'clock midnight before basketball on, you know, on Friday nights. I watched wrestling. My father was a huge wrestling fan. And, you know, I mean, it was something that was in the household, but it wasn't like a mainstream thing because, like I said, I was a basketball player and just watching, being a wrestling fan, watching Chief J. Strombo dance around, you know, and, you know, Pedro Morales and Bruno and Andre the Giant and, you know, S.D. Jones, Tony Garea, I mean, all those guys, you know, was a great thing. I could tell you one thing, is, you know, that Chief J. Strombo war dance, you know, it didn't work too good for me in Catholic school, because if I used to get into a fight, I used to get into war dance and I used to get my ass kicked. So it didn't help. You know, I'm mad at Chief J because he didn't teach me all the tricks of that. But anyway, It's just something that hangs with you. And then when people say the greatest WrestleMania, now people are going to laugh at this. My favorite WrestleMania moment, like as far as matches goes, is Rock Hogan, because I don't think there is a crowd that was so into two people. Yeah, I think that's the best WrestleMania. I don't think anybody ever topped that. But as far as having people invested in a storyline, you know, the Cody Rhodes thing was definitely there. But when you talk about two iconic people in wrestling getting together, having fan reaction, if Hogan would have beat Rock, nobody would have been mad.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody would have been happy. But as far as WrestleMania is, like, everybody says this, that, the other thing. When you talk about the old stuff, I think Rock Hogan probably is tops for me.
Yeah, and they were talking about, you know, the greatest tag match of all time being Night 1 main event this year. But I'm just sitting here going, well, man, you guys are forgetting what kicked it all off. It was Hulk and T against Roddy and Orndorff. And to me, it's like that's tough to replace. That being said, I enjoyed the heck out of Night 1 and Night 2. Night 1 was a little more fun for me, but but yeah, I have no problems at all with somebody picking Rock and Hogan as far as being their most iconic moment of all time. With hindsight being 2020 and looking at The Rock and what he's done since then, it's easily something you can argue as far as two of the top performers in all of entertainment and all time. So thanks so much for sharing your stories and being on the show, Vito. I really appreciate you. I appreciate Tommy and Jay for doing this every week that the website doesn't give them troubles. So thanks so much, you guys. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care, man.
Hey, Vito, before we take the last call, you mentioned not just having runs in companies or working in companies, but actually having storylines. And in some of the bigger companies, you got to do some pretty cool things outside of the professional wrestling industry. When you were involved in the WWE, you were featured in a video game. When you were in WCW, you got to be a contestant on Double Dare. I'm wondering, do you have a favorite moment that wrestling gave you but wasn't inside the ring, something else cool you got to experience?
Shipmates was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I remember. Shipmates was awesome. You talk about being the Jersey Shore before the Jersey Shore. I was the Jersey Shore. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you some Shipmates as far as doing that. I mean, that was a great time, a great cruise. I mean, I danced probably every female on that ship. I strip teased for every female. I mean, and during the WWE run, I got to do Playboy magazine, which was a very cool thing. I mean, you know, when they look at you like that and they see, you know, you have one day of beauty in your life and everybody wants to be a stud and something like that. And I did it very tastefully, right? But people admired me and it's, you know, they said, you're very handsome. It's like one day of beauty, but to kill yourself for that one day, it was like tremendous. And I used to ask all the Playboy models, how do you prepare for this from Candace on down? And everybody just was like, wow. You know, so I mean, that and then being able to be in the movies, being in the church and being in Survivor and doing game shows and commercials. I mean, that's always great. I mean, probably being recognized all these years, even when I go out today and people still wanting me to wrestle, you know, and do appearances. I mean, that's something that means a lot. You know what I mean? If it wasn't for wrestling, I wouldn't have all this fame. And sometimes I downplay how much of a celebrity I am and how much, you know, like they, people say you're a superstar, or you're a celebrity, you know, and like, I'm just, you know, Vito LaGrasso. If you know me from wrestling, I appreciate it. Or shake your hand, sign what you want, you know, be a gentleman. So it's pretty cool. And it's a pretty cool lifestyle. And you get to be, one thing you don't forget is where you come from and being down to earth. Just like, you know, me and Tommy can go down to Jenkinson's or the Jersey Shore. We can play skee ball, laugh about it, go to Jenkinson's at night. You know, and Tommy, you know, he's a real pal. my bachelor party. He lined up 21 drinks. He didn't say they all cost $1 a piece. He'd act like a big spender that day. But I mean, I drank everyone. But we always have a good time. So, I mean, if that, I guess, meeting people and greeting people and having friends and being able to talk about this now and enjoy life, I mean, it's all good.
That's fantastic. All right. We got one last call. He's been hanging on, waiting to connect with you, Big Vito. So we're going to take his call. Closing the show with us is Joe from Long Island. Joe, good morning. Thank you for hanging on hold. We're talking with Big Vito all about WrestleMania 40.
Hey, good morning, Jay. Good morning, Tommy. Good morning, Vito. How you guys doing?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good to talk to you guys. It's been a few weeks since I called. I know you guys are around in third base here, so I'll make a couple of quick points, and then I had a quick question for Vito. Most everything has been said about WrestleMania already. Very good show. The one thing that was absent from it that I felt was a big miss was some type of tribute to Hulk Hogan. I thought the 40th anniversary this year of him winning the belt for the first time, the start of Hulkamania, he pretty much started off the whole WrestleMania craze back in 85. I thought that was a missed opportunity. I thought, especially with two nights, you know, you're talking 3 hours, 4 hours every night, they could have set aside maybe 10 minutes or so, do a little tribute, had a Hogan appearance, come out, something like that. So I thought that was a huge missed opportunity on their part for WrestleMania 40.
I think you're absolutely right. They could have included Hulk Hogan in something. I was shocked that he wasn't involved in it. You know, as far as Hulk Hogan goes, he was the face of wrestling for a lot of years, and he paved the way for a lot of guys. A lot of people have a lot of opinions about Hulk Hogan while he was in the business. You can only go by how he treats you, and you don't know, and you can only listen to hearsay. As far as I go, he always treated me good, and I always thought, like, if he had a name 1-2 in the business, it's Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair. And we know that Ric Flair wrestles for AEW. And Hogan, in some ways, I think sometimes he's given a bad rap. And I think some things have happened that have maybe hurt his public opinion. Mm-hmm. But all in all, if it wasn't for Hulk Hogan, would we have wrestling today, and would it be what it is today? And that's a good question to ask. Maybe there wouldn't be no Rock. You know, who was going to pass the torch to the Rock? Who was going to be in the NWO? Who was going to be in all these great matches, Andre match? I mean, you talk about a legacy and a career like that, and you don't include the guy in WrestleMania. I believe he was in Philly doing autographs, but even if they gave him a cameo and said, hey, Hulk, you know, we'd like to have you in the crowd, sit front row at the Hall of Fame, something. But, I mean, the powers to be thought it was best. You know, everybody's got their own opinions on things, but Hulk Hogan definitely should have been made some kind of appearance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think a big part of it, too, is that, you know, being that it's 40 years, I think it possibly could be that, I know for 80s fans like us, you know, we think of it as like yesterday when Hogan was on top. You know, we remember all the big angles, the matches. But, I mean, it looks like today's fans might not even realize the impact. You know, for them, a lot of it, they grew up with guys like The Rock, guys like Stone Cold, guys like Undertaker. So for a lot of fans, you know, it might not be as big a deal as it is for us. But again, I mean, I feel like you should always honor what came before you, honor the guys that started. And obviously there was many talents and a lot of wrestling way before Hulk Hogan. But as far as the mainstream aspect and the WrestleMania years, you know, obviously Hogan was instrumental in that. And, you know, being that it was basically Vince and Hogan, and being that obviously Vince is not going to be around, I felt Hogan was the logical choice. But like you said, Vito, I mean, it's up to it's up to WWE, up to Triple H, and they decided, I guess, it wasn't on the card. It wasn't in the cards.
Well, I will tell you. I will tell you one thing. When I made it to the WWF TVs, and the first time I met Hulk Hogan, I was sitting in a row of seats. Now, there had to be about 50 guys sitting, you know, and then you had to watch the monitor. You had to sit down. He came in, and he shook everybody's hand in that line. And when he came to me, I stood up, and I said, "How you doing? My name is Vito." He says, and he introduced himself. He says, "I'm Hulk Hogan. Nice to meet you." He shook my hand, and he walked away. And when you talk about handshaking, greeting people in the wrestling business, you know, I could say this because he's more probably 1-2 and it's like, who's the greatest of all time. But a guy like that coming and you're seeing a young kid in the business sitting there and you come and shake his hand, not because I'm a fan, because I'm trying to be a wrestler like him. And he shook my hand and he greeted me. You know, he didn't treat me like, you know, an idiot or ignore me or walk away from me. But, I mean, that was a cool moment because, like I said earlier, like Bret Hart and, you know, apologizing about doing something and then Hulk Hogan shaking my hand and guys inviting me in the dressing room. And those are the guys of the 80s who were still in the 90s who were ending their careers, took the time to teach me. So when you talk about 80s wrestling, I absolutely was groomed by the 80s wrestlers in the 90s, and I thank them all the time because those are the real thoroughbreds and the guys who hustled and wrestled every night and were out there every day. So when you say, you know, certain people deserve a recognition, yeah, Hulk Hogan could have made an appearance on the 40th show. He definitely could have. You're absolutely 100% right.
Yeah, that's great to hear that you had that history with Hulk and that you have good things to say about him. And you know, guys, I know for time's sake, again, I'll skip to the other points I wanted to make, and just one quick question for Vito before I'll hang up. Vito, I remember back in the day, years ago, I remember listening to you on the radio show. It was at on Long Island, but it was very hard to get. But it was you and Vince Russo doing that show for a year. Just curious about that. Any comments? Do you still talk to Vince? Do you have any relationship with him? Or you know, I'll leave it at that, and I will hang up now. But, guys, thanks so much. Tommy and Jay, if I don't talk to you before then, I'll see you at the convention next month.
Sounds good, Joe.
Thank you.
Looking forward to it, buddy. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. The name of the show was the Vicious Vincent's Wrestling Show, and Vince Russo started with John Arizzi, and then Vince Russo went on his own. And then I had met Vince Russo at Johnny Rods' school. And then he asked me if I wanted to do a wrestling radio show. So I used to truck it up to Long Island, and I did, you know, Vicious Vincent's. And then what people don't remember, and maybe some of the 80s people might remember, is that at the Nassau Coliseum, there was a thing called the Arena Club. And we used to do live radio from the Arena Club, and we had guests on there like the Macho Man. We had Mr. Perfect. We had Virgil. We had a couple other people. But when you're entertaining people at the Arena Club doing a radio show, that was pretty big for us because, like, you know, it was during the show and, you know, it was pretty good. It was a great time.
Well, Vito, we cannot thank you enough for joining us on this episode. We have to have you back on because I could listen to you tell stories about the industry. I can tell not only were you great at your craft, but you have great respect for your craft, and I just love the insights you're providing. Unfortunately, Tommy texted me about a minute ago. He had to duck off something at the store, had to use his attention, so he had to hang up early. But I do want to thank you.
Okay.
And then where can fans connect with you? I know you run the Big Vito brand on YouTube. You're on Instagram. Where can fans reach out and connect with you if they're looking to?
Get my booking at BigVito@BigVito.com. Check out the Big Vito brand. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. We are on LinkedIn. We're all over Facebook, and always catch up with Noel Harlow, Spilling the Magic Tea. That's my wife who does all the marketing. So if you'd like to book me, I greatly appreciate the work. Guys, hit me up. I'm definitely available. We'll work with your budget, and we'll put on a good show.
I don't doubt that for a second, Vito. I can't thank you enough for your time, man. We are so appreciative of not only your career, the entertainment you provided all of us, but for you to take time today to share some insights with us today, greatly appreciated, sir.
No worries. Thank you very much.
All right. Bless you, sir. All right. That wraps up today's episode of 80s Wrestling, the podcast, recapping WrestleMania 40 with what a hell of a guy, Big Vito, sharing his insights not only on the big show this past weekend, but just on the industry in itself. Thank you, everybody, for listening and joining in. And I hope you join us right here next week for another hard-hitting episode of 80s Wrestling, the podcast.